Support this podcast via our Patreon and get more writerly goodness. Visit patreon.com/nanocast to join up.
Welcome to The Everyday Novelist. My name is J. Daniel Sawyer, author of 24 books, 34 short stories, and countless articles and scripts and essays, and I am your guide on this quest to raise your output to pulp speed levels and to explore the cracks and crevices of business and craft in the writing life.
Welcome to The Questions, Episode 220. Today we wrap up our series of questions from Robert in Australia on teaching children and teenagers how to write fiction. And I have to apologize for the effusiveness of the last few episodes. I've been standing here in the booth having a great time answering these questions, and it's gotten me really excited, so I'm talking really fast, so I'm hoping that these wind up being intelligible rather than just sounding like me going, I guess I'll find out when I get to the editing booth. Anyway, today is the last question. Be sure to send in more questions so the podcast can continue. But today, for Robert's final question, he says, I have been experimenting with different techniques for editing, including peer editing, reading out to the class, rewriting on paper after self-editing, and typing a final draft on a computer. It is fascinating how students can copy simple errors, even though they can also point them out to you if prompted. How can we support effective editing? Robert, this comes back to the old maxim, which is not always true, but is frequently enough to be worth listening to. It's impossible to edit yourself. Proofreading is a rarefied skill. It takes work to teach yourself to look at a manuscript for the errors instead of getting caught up in the language, and that's a really good thing. And you don't actually want beginning writers to be hunting for errors because it will cripple them creatively. However, if you want to enable effective editing in order to clean up things for submission or for turning into the class or whatnot, it might actually benefit you during a break between stories to get some basic proofreading exercises, maybe write them up yourself, where you know where the errors are, and have the students work through and proofread them, teach them the proofing marks, teach them all the basics on how you do it, teach them what to watch for, and run them through periodically different drills on proofreading different deliberately wrong passages from stories or whatnot that you've typed up and inserted errors into. Getting them to the point where they can read something for itself and enjoy it without seeing the errors, and then change headspaces into looking for the errors and having them pop out and catch most of them. They'll never catch all of them, nor should you make them feel like they should, because no one ever does. It's a failure of the human brain and a byproduct of the complexity of language. Doing that as a separate skill set that you then bring in from the side from time to time will probably be very effective without incurring a lot of the negative costs to creativity that are associated with encouraging hypercriticality on the part of the students with regards to their own work. With regards to other stuff like continuity and story development and language flow, reading things aloud is very helpful. Watching for reader response is really helpful. So if, for example, assuming that your students have egos that are strong enough to handle this, you have them reading their stories out to each other and listening to or watching the responses of their audience, have them take note of what's been said and apply those lessons to the next story. Don't have them go back and revise the first story. Let them use each story as a ratchet on the way, rather than teaching them to get bogged down in a single story. They may decide to go back and revise the other ones later, which is fine, but you're trying to teach them how to write and how to keep their creativity loose and how to master it for the use of conveying their voice, their thoughts, their stories to an audience. So you want to keep the focus on the communication aspect rather than on the perfection aspect. So those are the two things that I would recommend. The other things you're doing sound like they're pretty good and pretty effective. You don't want to fall too hard on this one because it is something that people will learn as they go, as a natural byproduct of maturing in their craft. You don't have to front load too much of it. Thank you so very much for sending in this list of questions. This has been a fantastically fun mini-series. Hopefully the other listeners have some interesting comments, which we'll be able to do some follow-up episodes on. I'll keep you guys posted as they come in. And please do remember to send more questions so we can keep this show on the road. It is a fantastic fun thing, and what a great way to start 2017 digging into these questions, both this series and the few episodes that have come before. for. Thank you so much, guys. Here's to another year or two of doing this podcast and keeping it going, because this is such a bright spot in the universe for me. I love hearing from all you guys, and I hope that you keep sending things in. Thank you very, very much. And I'll see you tomorrow.
The Everyday Novelist is written and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and is produced by Artistic Whispers Productions. Visit our website at everydaynovelist.com and leave a tip in the tip jar or join the Patreon to support this podcast. The Everyday Novelist is copyright 2017 J. Daniel Sawyer and Artistic Whispers Productions, Inc. and is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License.